Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. Remember that you can support the Father's Day on thefathersday.tv/donate, and I do appreciate it. And also, you can support us on locals.com. Just click the link in the description to support our work. I absolutely appreciate it. I have with me Ed Clay, and he is an entrepreneur, philanthropist, former MMA fighter, and the host of the Ed Clay Show. Ed, thank you so much for coming on. I do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've been a fan of yours for a while.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. I had no idea.
When I saw the email, I was like, I love that guy. I've been laughing at some of your interviews for a long time.
That's amazing. You never know who's paying attention, huh?
Right. That's right.
So, Ed, what's important to you?
Oh, I think what was important to me is big picture helping people, you know, doing the best that I can to help others, just kind of get better in life. And I've been on a Christian journey my entire life and kind of faded away for a little while, my 20s and 30s. But, now my relationship with God's very important as well.
Yeah. And when you say you faded away at your early 20s, what made you fade away from God? And how can a person know God and fade away?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think worldly things kind of, took over. And I got in trouble. I got arrested when I was 3 weeks after my 20th birthday. I was facing 15 years in prison. And that was at the federal level. And then it got dropped to a state charge where I was faced with 8 years. And I got an 8-month sentence. I spent out of that with good time about 6 months. And, kind of from that point on, I turned my life around. But, that charge was a drug charge. And it was very much, selfish things and those type of things. And I just, even in my 20s, or after that happened, I really did turn my life around. But I wouldn't say I put God first, then. Just worked really hard, and I think overall was, trying to be a good person. But as I've gotten older, I mean, we've got so much stuff going on right now, and, it's got to be God. Yeah. People say you get lucky. I'm like, no, I have God's favor. I work really hard and have God's favor.
Right.
It's kind of the philosophy now. But, yeah, I did go away for a while, and now I'm back, and I could say happier than ever.
Right on. And when you turned away from God, as you say, as you said, your parents, were they aware you had turned away? What did they have to say about that?
Well, I was raised Church of Christ, which is a pretty strict, Christian upbringing, and they were aware. When I say I turned away, I mean, I always had my faith. I always believed. So.
Right.
I didn't turn away as in, I don't believe, but I guess I did have some questions at the time. And, so they were they're an old Christian country family. So they just, my mom's, she just prayed for me. And, it eventually worked out.
Amazing. And so now that you've returned to God, do you have perfect peace?
Yes. I mean, I battle the conversations I have with God, even last night as I'm praying, I want to make sure he knows I'm not taking it for granted. And so it's kind of an intense conversation, I'd say, back and forth on wanting to make sure that I pray for the right things, that I'm not being selfish and those type of things. The peace that I have, when I say perfect peace, no, it wouldn't be perfect, but I'm constantly working on that peace. And, it's still a work in progress where I would say that perfect peace.
Do you believe that you can have perfect peace right here on earth?
I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about that specifically, but, I think that, I think because everybody goes through trials and tribulations, and I don't know if that's kind of part of the perfect peace that you're talking about, But I have full trust in God that God's going to take care of me no matter what, and he's not going to throw anything at me that ultimately I can't handle.
And Christ came that we may have peace, perfect peace. Mm. Why aren't you convinced 100% that we can have that while we live? We don't have to wait to leave the earth to have perfect peace. We can have the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. Why aren't you completely convinced of that?
Oh, I wouldn't say I don't believe that. I just haven't thought about it in the way you asked. And I would love to have that. I mean, I feel like my relationship with God's really good right now. I mean, it's a major part. I just didn't know specifically that the perfect peace question I haven't ever really thought about in that way.
Okay. And when you say that you want to make sure God knows that, and I may be not quoting you completely, but you said you want to make sure God knows that you're not taking advantage of him?
Taking him for granted.
I mean, yeah, taking him for granted. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I pray a lot, and sometimes in my prayer or even conversations, I might say stuff that, because, you know, God is so smart, and I want to make sure I'm not offending him with my dumb thoughts. And so I'm just trying to be polite in my, respectful in my prayer and conversation. And so, and then I'll talk to him about, hey, this thought came to my mind. God can hear everything. So I'm like, you just saw that thought that came to my mind. And so it's a back and forth that we have.
I totally understand what you're saying. Where do your thoughts come from?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. They come out of nowhere sometimes. I don't exactly know where they come from.
Have you ever, do you create your own thoughts?
I'm not sure. They're coming from in my brain. I would hope so, I guess.
So you're not for sure if you create them or not.
No, I'm not.
Do you think they're from God?
I think, the good ones would be from God. I mean, everything good comes from God. So the question that you're asking, sometimes I question when I have those bad thoughts, if that's coming from the devil. So that's a conversation I have with God, too, is, hey, what was that? What was that? So that's kind of what you're asking. Those are some of the conversations that we have.
And what does God say when you ask if they're from the devil?
That's a good question. I have some doubts, and then I have some beliefs with it. Then I have some doubts, and then I have some beliefs with it. So it's more of a grappling thought that goes on in my brain.
And then what does God say when you ask, those are from God or from the devil? What does he say? What does God say about that? Does he answer that question when you ask?
I don't think I remember like exactly what he says, but actually tonight, if that happens, I'm going to ask and sit with it for a second and see kind of what comes up.
Yeah. And you say some of the thoughts are good thoughts? Good thoughts sometimes?
Yes, I think when I pray, I'm very careful how I ask a prayer, so sometimes growing up, my dad shattered his hip when I was four, and he had and basically asked God to test him and test his faith, and that happened. And so in the back of my mind, I'm always concerned with how I ask, because I to ask for the wrong thing.
Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
Yes, exactly. But then I also question whether that's whether I should be that concerned with it. Am I overthinking it? Am I over? And so those kind of conversations. A lot comes at me when I'm in those prayers. So there's a lot I really don't understand, honestly.
And so did your father pass the test, or he lost in the test?
I would say he wouldn't say he he was mad at God for a while.
Well, he asked God to do it.
I know. And, but I would say now he's passed the test. They're really good now. But it took a while. I mean, my family, they lost everything. You know, for about 10 years, they had to battle back. And my mom and dad both worked really hard and to support us. I didn't really know that we were poor growing up. Now I can look back and understand that. But, you know, they battled back. And now their faith is strong again.
Amazing. And yeah. So give me an example of a good thought.
A good thought. Oh, gosh.
Because you said sometimes you get good thoughts and you believe those are from God. I'm wondering, what is a good thought? Give me an example of a good thought.
I'm trying to think of a good thought. When I'm like praying, like a good thought when I'm praying. I don't know. I mean, I ask God for strength, and I thank him a lot. I wouldn't know like what exactly a good thought I'd have to go through, because it's a different kind of mindset that I'm in when I'm praying. So, and a lot of this is kind of in internal battles back and forth, and I haven't really thought about or ever talked about it out loud. So it's you know, kind of processing the question as you're asking. But I'll be more aware. And actually, these questions, I'm going to sit with them as I'm praying next time and kind of see if I can get some answers.
Nice. And if you knew for sure that you could have perfect peace right here today, right here on earth, while you live, you don't have to wait until you drop your body. If you knew you could have it, would you accept it?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
You want me to, may I tell you, would you like me to tell you how you can have perfect peace right now?
Yes, please.
You got to forgive your mother and your father, but especially your mother.
Okay.
Because your mother turned you away from your father and recreated you in her image, and you identified with her, and now you got to return to the father by forgiving him for not protecting you from your mother. He didn't know how to deal with your mother because he was married to his mother. You're attracted to what you hate. And men marry women who are just like their mothers, and they repeat the cycle with their children. The cycle goes on and on until somebody forgive. And so if you were to go and forgive your mother, "Mother, I'm sorry for resenting you. You imposed your will on me. You turned me away from my father. I thought you were the victim, but you were the victimizer," or whatever it was that you were angry at her about, and just forgive her. Don't ask for forgiveness. Forgive her, and God will forgive you, and God will change your heart from anger to perfect peace. Then he will bring you out of the darkness of your imagination. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. Uh-huh. You have never created your own thoughts. They are not from God. They are straight out of hell. They're of their father, the devil.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I'm not mad at my mom over anything, though. I mean, she was a great mother. I mean, my parents have been married now for 52 years. And I wouldn't say that, I mean,
how about
my
your
dad
father?
Was the leader of the household. You know, like it was, in many ways, it's a perfect picture of of what I would see. I would want to raise my family in many of the same ways.
Nice. So your mother was perfect?
No, definitely not perfect.
did she do little things that would irritate you at times, or you wish you didn't do, or say, or act?
You know, I mean, I would say I have such a good relationship with my mom that, maybe as I got in high school and those type of things, but, you know, a lot of parent things. But, yeah, I mean, I guess there's things at times where my mom irritated me, but, you know, I think that's pretty normal.
Give me one example. I mean, I don't want you to go all personal in your business. That's up to you. But give me an example of how when you were growing up, she would irritate you with little things. And even now, she still irritate you sometimes.
Gosh, how would my mom irritate me? Let's see here. Gosh, let me think for a second.
Those little things that you wish you would have stopped doing or stop, or you know how those it just kind of touch a nerve, but you thinking that it's normal, it's fine, it's parents, and you let it pass.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into personal with my mom, but you know, because there's little things, but
example. Give me an example.
I don't want to give examples of my mom.
Why not?
You're irritating me. Well, just out of respect for both my mom and dad. You know, I think they were so good. I wouldn't want them. You know, I'm not upset about anything with them. If anything, I'm just grateful because I was really blessed growing up. And
But how will you love her and how will you enter into the kingdom of heaven if you don't forgive her for those things? She did the best she can do, like all mothers, right? But all mothers screw up. And sure. Fathers do too. But how would you enter into the kingdom of heaven, a perfect peace, if you don't go and forgive your mother for those little things that you know she did, but she couldn't help it? How will you love her if you don't go and forgive her?
Well, I think that'll be between God and I, forgiving her, but not necessarily publicly talking about anything that she might have done. It's actually hard for me to think of, you know, something that she really upsets me about because I just don't feel that way.
And have you forgiven your father for not protecting you from her?
I haven't ever felt the need to forgive my dad for not protecting me from her.
Oh, so have you forgiven your father for the mistakes he made concerning you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you tell him that?
Yes, yeah.
And give me one thing that you went and told him, I'm sorry for resenting you for.
I would say, certain things with temper growing up. And we've had a lot of conversations, you know, about it. And we've had some good conversations about it. But
and you apologized to him for being upset at time with him?
I apologize for, sorry, say it again.
For getting upset at him at times.
Yes, actually. Yeah, we had a big clear off a few years ago.
And so why is it that you can remember the mistake your father made, but not one that your mother made?
I think that, you know, growing up, my dad and I, we didn't really butt heads that much, but I would say it was more. And when I say my relationship was good with my parents, it was really good. So that one's kind of more front and center. But, you know, the issues, you know, like with my mom, they didn't. There weren't big ones like that.
Who were you closer to growing up, your mother or your father?
Oh, it's really close. I would say it's pretty close to the same. I mean, they were at every wrestling match. They were at every, you know, everything I ever did. They were, you know, both very supportive.
Are you surprised that you can remember, and then I want to move on, but are you surprised you can remember getting angry at your father, but you can't remember getting angry at your mother?
I mean, that's interesting. It really is. Like when you ask about like my mom, like what's some issues? Like I don't, nothing like popped up, you know, with my dad, I could think about, you know, some of the blow ups we've had together, but you know, that's more of a, you know, we're both men too. And that's, we didn't have a lot of big issues, but I guess if we had issues, I had more with my dad, and it wasn't, like I said, though, it wasn't that much.
When you would notice how your mother would irritate your father, she would drive him crazy, and then she would play victim because he would overreact. Your mother played victim, and you could see that it was her driving him crazy. He just didn't know how to handle it. How would you deal with that when you knew it was your mother driving your father crazy and he was overreacting?
I'm not sure that was the case, honestly. Oh. I really was. I'm not sure that was the case. My mom was, you know, is kind of a saint. I mean, really, you know, and my grandmother, even before she passed at 93, I never heard my grandmother say a bad word about anybody, ever.
You talk about your mother's mother?
Yes.
Well, how do you think your mother became like her mother and she resented her own mother?
I have no idea.
She became just, you become like what you hate. Your mother resented your grandmama. That's why your mother became like your mother. She was never herself.
Say that again.
Your mother became like her mother.
Well, that's a good person, a great person.
Amazing. No such thing as a good person. There's not one person on earth who is a good person. How is it that your mother and grandmother were good when there's no such thing as good people?
I don't know. What do you mean? What are there if there's not good people?
Evil.
Evil. So yeah. There's evil and then there's what?
Evil.
Evil and evil. Everything's evil?
Until you return to the Father, everything about human heart are evil. And that's why God said that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must go and forgive. And the only way you're gonna have perfect peace, you got to be absolutely honest about how you really feel about your mother, because you have identified with her. And because you identified with her, it's hard for you to admit to yourself or to her that she did screw you up. But if you forgive her, I promise you, God will forgive you, because he said before you enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must go and forgive. And we all must forgive our mothers and our fathers. And once we forgive them, we will enter into the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. And you will have no anger, and you will have perfect peace, and you will obey you will love your parents in the right way. You said we should honor our parents, but you can't honor them if you had not forgiven them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't really thought about forgiving them because I didn't know I needed to, but I will. I'll look at anything. So,
right on. Yeah, just check it out, see it for yourself. And then once you go and say, hey, I'm sorry for resenting you, one of those things that you got to remember what she and your father used to do. They could not help themselves. Their parents screwed them up. Mm-hmm. And once you forgive them, whether they accept it or not, admit it or not, you forgive them, I'm sorry for being angry at you, then God will forgive you and everything will change for you. Are you married?
Nope, not married.
You're not?
No.
Oh, no wonder you're happy. No. But anyway, smoke on that, all right?
All right, thank you.
And so you are an entrepreneur and a philanthropist. What motivated you to become an entrepreneur? How did you get in that straight path?
Yeah, so my grandpa on my dad's side was an entrepreneur. And just growing up, I mean, I remember we didn't have a lot growing up. And I always just wanted to not kind of struggle like my parents were. And so, but my mom and dad both always told me, you just work hard and, you know, good things will happen. Just work hard, be the hardest worker in the room always. And so they kind of instilled that into me. And so I just always kind of knew that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I think you'll see, I guess when I was 11, my dad wanted to play paintball, I wanted my dad to play paintball with me. So, you know, I started raking leaves to save money for Christmas to buy him a paintball gun. And then there was a boat for sale a couple doors down, and it was like $1,500, and I bought it, and then I sold it for $3,000. And it was, you know, that was kind right of on. Like, I was always having that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. And so, yeah, that's kind of what started it.
Nice. I want to, let me just tell you this really fast, and then I want to ask you more about the entrepreneur thing. We mentioned thoughts earlier, right?
Uh-huh.
You are not your thoughts. God said to bring all thoughts into captivity, except for practical thoughts like, where you going to work, what you going to eat, blah, blah, blah. All thoughts are all lies all the time about anything. They're all evil. No such thing as a good thought. They're all evil. And when you go and forgive your parents, this is you. These are your thoughts. You've been living in it. They build you up to let you down. They build you up. They let you down. They up you down. You up and down. I thought, why you want to jump off a bridge somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what happened is when you became angry, you escaped into your thoughts, your imagination as a kid to try to survive that anger. And you've been living there all your life since then. And once you go and forgive, God is going to bring you out. This is you out of the darkness of your imagination, out of your thought. Because those thoughts are not from him and they're not from you. They're from hell. They're evil. And you've been believing that they were yours and you've been struggling with them, not knowing it was evil. There's nothing you can do about it. So God is going to bring you, once you forgive your parents, you got to forgive your mother too. Once you forgive them, he's going to bring you out of those thoughts. And now the light is on in your heart because you no longer have anger in your heart. You will have perfect peace. Then he's going to destroy, the light of God is going to destroy the darkness of the imagination. He's going to get rid of all those demons in your mind. The demons are called loneliness. They are called alcohol. In some cases, they are called suicidal thoughts. They are called depression. They are called all kind of names, lesbian or homosexual or drug addict or a child molester. They're called all those names, but they're really demons that made a home in you when you became angry. So he's going to get rid of, if you stay with it, he's going to get rid of all those false identities that you have been identifying with, thinking that were you, and he's going to give you a clear mind, and it's going to be amazing. But awesome. You got to work on yourself and you got to forgive your parents first. All human beings must forgive mama and daddy in order to return to the Father. Salvation is about a return to the Father. And if you don't forgive your father, your earthly father, you're never going to return to God.
Interesting.
I know that's a lot, but smoke on it.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
And if you need to talk more in private and say, I can talk to you in counseling or something like that.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks.
Or just talk. But so you were telling me that you started a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds so interesting to me. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my mom had a severe case of rheumatoid arthritis, and she had failed all the standard medications in the U.S. So standard of care RA medications are deeply immunosuppressive, where they suppress the immune system, so you're more susceptible to infection.
Right.
So she got multiple staph infections. She got tuberculosis, all side effects of medication, broke her back on a fall. That was a short fall because of the her bones becoming brittle. And we had ran out of options. And I was reading I started just doing kind of research to see if there was anything else out there. And there was something called Coley's toxins for rheumatoid arthritis. It was from a paper I read from 1923, and it was available at one hospital in Mexico. It had closed down a couple of years before, and I'm like, huh. So I called my two business partners, Scotty and Dedrick, and we went there. We got a real estate agent. We were looking at some other properties to possibly do something similar there, but we found the hospital. It had closed a couple of years before. We purchased the hospital from the owner and hired back the original staff. My mom was our first patient. She came in a wheelchair. She left 3 weeks later walking. She's been in remission for almost 9 years, be 9 years August 15th when we opened. And, you know, from there, we built it into something pretty amazing. So we treated cancer patients for a long time. It was considered alternative, right. Air quotes. But I started reaching out to a lot of immunologists and scientists about their papers because, immunotherapy for cancer, when we started, wasn't big. 2018, it won a Nobel Prize in Medicine. And this hospital had been doing that for almost 40 years, different immunotherapies. And so started reaching out to different scientists. They're like, you're doing what? And brought them on to our scientific advisory board and just kind of built the team from there. 21, we started our the stem cell portion of it. So we have a cancer, I say vaccine, don't think vaccine like a COVID vaccine. Let's think vaccine like a tumor vaccine, where we take a piece of a tumor and make a vaccine for patients. But I wasn't really interested very much in mesenchymal stem cells, because I thought at the time it's kind of basic for like joint injuries and those type of things.
Right.
But there were a couple scientists that we were open to working with. And one was a guy named Francisco Silva. And the thought was, you know, he can come in and partner with us on this, but he can also help us build out our cancer vaccine lab better. You know, we started the stem cell portion 2021, and now we're the largest manufacturer of mesenchymal stem cells in the world. We're the official stem cell provider of the UFC, and that part's blown up, and that's actually funding all of our cancer research, which is pretty cool.
That is an amazing story, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Did you ever imagine that one day, you know, like growing up and you're doing these little businesses along the way in life and working? Did you imagine one day you would own a hospital?
No way. No way. I mean, we lived in the hospital for the first 6 months because none of us, you know, had ever run a hospital before.
Right.
And so we wanted to know every single thing about it. And it's been an adventure. I mean, we lived in Tijuana, Mexico for the first 7 years.
Wow.
Put a grind in, man. I'm talking about 7 days a week. I mean, it was just constant years of work. And, you know, we're blessed now. I look back and I would pray, like, God, you know, can you make this happen, make this happen? And nothing would happen in time.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful because the timing has been perfect, because we weren't ready for all that then. You know, where we're at now, we've gotten, you know, to a position where, you know, it's a lot of people knowing what we're doing. We weren't ready for that then.
Right.
And so, but the first, I mean, we were close to bankruptcy multiple times over the years. I mean, it's been a grind, but, you know, we're very happy now.
What caused you not to give up on it, on such a tough project like that? And then just learning about it as you go, what kept you going?
Yeah, I think the mission, I mean, just, you know, I always like to say, when in doubt, focus out. Like, you know, focusing on giving to others and helping others has been like the driving force. You see a lot of suffering with cancer.
Right.
Never say we're anywhere close to a cure for cancer or anything like that. And so if you're honest about that, you see these people that are coming to you in stage, and some people you're able to actually turn around, which is always amazing. But, you know, most don't make it, you know, and just having, you know, getting close to the patients and having that drive, believing that there's a better way than they're doing it right now in the United States.
Yeah.
And so that's been, I mean, even when we were going through the tough times, I never thought we were going to fail. There's like no way.
Right.
We've come way too far to fail. Even a year in, we've come way too far to fail.
Right.
And so, you know, we thankfully made it through.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I asked a lot of people, other doctors and professionals. I noticed that a lot of men I counsel with around the world, really. And I noticed that a lot of men seem to be getting prostate cancer. Do you know what causes that?
Not specifically, you know, there's cancer rates are going up across the board. I think we're, 1 in 2 people will get cancer at some point in their life now.
Wow.
It's a lot. Yeah.
I've asked several doctors about that. What causes prostate? They don't know. They said, we don't know. No one really knows what causes cancer.
Yeah. Now, prostate cancer, you know, you think about people ask me a lot, well, you know, is there a cure for cancer? Right.
Right.
Is there some kind of secret cure? And I mean, I say absolutely not. But cancer is not a disease. It's so many different diseases depending on where the cancer is. But I mean, if there was a cure, we would have found it because we have tried everything. We're very open to possibility when it comes to treatments. And there is no magic cure for cancer.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Come on, I ain't
gonna kill
them alive. Let's go. Come on, one shot.
Jesse!
What in the world going on out
out here?
All these people are here for the merch, but we're sold out.
They're here for the merch?
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's amazing. The merch is amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
The merch is amazing.
And so how many businesses do you own?
The hospital, which is part of it. So it's Translational Advanced Medical Center, along with CPI, which is Cellular Performance Institute, which is the stem cell portion of it. Then some real estate. That's pretty much it. I mean, we have labs and those type of things connected with the hospital.
White people, something else. So you are a philanthropist as well. What is that exactly?
Well, I think that if you're, giving yourself to different charities or supporting different charities, we have something called the Miracle Hope Foundation, which supports patients that can't afford treatment. We had something called Hope Song, where every week we'd fly two musicians from Nashville to Mexico to play for our patients and bring them up, go in the room, those type of things. And so I was on the board of Operation Light Shine, which is an anti-sex trafficking foundation. Now with the Sentinel Foundation, they rescue children. And so I think it's just, giving back to charitable causes.
Right on. Nice. So are you a millionaire now?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you think that you would go from rag to riches when you were growing up?
I did.
You did?
I did. I thought I was going to be just fine.
And so was that your driving force to go to, because you, at the time you didn't realize that you were poor, but when you realized you were poor, you were poor. Mm-hmm. Was that your driving factor?
I think as a kid, yes. And I think money was more of my driving factor in my 20s.
Uh-huh.
And that got pretty shallow. And I think, now it really is helping people.
Right on,
so,
man.
Of course, we want to make a great living. Nothing wrong with that. But, there's just so much more to life.
Yeah.
Than that. It's just so empty. And, a lot of times people get depressed and those type of things. And because they focus on themselves. But when you're outward focused and focus on helping other people, a lot of that goes away.
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of how I choose to live my life.
Right on. And so were you surprised that once you became a millionaire and a smart businessman, that you still don't have perfect peace?
Like I said, I hadn't really thought about the perfect peace thing until you brought it up.
Right.
But, I'm so happy that my relationship with God is getting so much better. I mean, it's just been it's a crutch. So it's a relief. So, and I know it can get even better. I still have certain doubts, sometimes. And, I can't wait till I'm at a point where I can just pray and really let go of everything else and say, God, take it.
When you forgive, you will. He will take it, but he can't take it until you are willing to admit that you have this anger and that you're wrong for being angry. Then he will take it away, but you got to forgive. Are you surprised that you still have anger?
I mean, anger in general. No, I'm not surprised I have anger. I haven't really thought about that one. I mean, I definitely have a temper.
Yeah, so, I can tell.
Working like the difference me in a personal life and then a work is completely different. I'm very intense. Like when I coached fighters, I was a very intense coach. And the temper is something that I definitely need to work on. So
why don't you drop the anger and be done with it?
Well, I think I've got a is it that easy?
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, I got to find that.
I'm just telling you, the anger that you have came from your mother. We're all recreated in our mother's image. All human beings, men and women who are born of the flesh, which is of the mother, are recreated in her image. And then when you get older, you realize, wow, I do have this anger. She did do this. She didn't mean it, but she did it. I'm wrong for resenting her. She couldn't help herself. And when you go and forgive, the anger will be taken away from you because it's a spirit. Mm. And it's going to be hard for you to admit you resent your mother because you are so identified with her. Mm-hmm. And for you to even think of resenting your mother is like going against God.
Yeah, it's foreign to me. When you said it, I'm like, huh, I haven't really ever thought about that.
Yeah, right. And most people don't think about, they can tell you all day and night about their fathers, but they don't tell you about the mothers because they have identified with the mothers, and the mother is God, but they don't know they have identified with the devil. They think they have identified with the mother, and the mother's not going to admit that she turned you away from your father, that she has recreated you in her image by imposing her will on you, because women are jealous of the woman, women are jealous of the man because of that order of God, God and Christ, Christ and man over woman and woman over children. And so women are jealous of the man because Satan is their God and the God above is the man's God. And so the God below is jealous of the God above. And so the God below uses women to destroy the son of God. All males are sons of God. They're weak beta males because they've been turned away. But they're still sons of God, just been turned away from the father. And the hardest thing in the world for a woman to do is to admit she has turned the children away from the father. And that's why you have to find for yourself and you will be made free.
When you say the woman's God is the devil, what do you mean by that?
Satan is the woman's God. When Eve listened to the serpent,
okay,
and he convinced her to turn away from her husband, who had a relationship with his father. So Adam had a relationship with God. Eve had a relationship with Adam, and all was well. She would listen to her husband. She would obey her husband. Things were fine. But she went out to the garden to collect some black-eyed peas and cornbread and candy yams and stuff. And she kept going back, and Satan convinced her she could be her own woman. You don't have to listen to your husband. He's listening to his father. He's a beta male, right? And she believed the serpent. Mm. And once she believed the serpent, she no longer listened to her husband, who had a relationship with the father. And Satan became her God in that very moment. And then once Adam listened to her because she convinced Adam, and once Adam listened to her, the woman became the man's God because Adam could no longer listen to his father because he listened to the woman who listened to the devil. So the woman became the man's God and the serpent became the woman's God. And that's what's going on. But when you forgive, God will forgive you and turn you back to the father. That's why you can't love God unless you forgive your earthly father too, love him. And then you will be fine. But you got to forgive the woman. And this is for men and women. Women have to forgive their mothers, too, because the mothers know not what they do. They were screwed up by their mothers and so on and so on. And Christ came that we all may be free, but you got to forgive, starting with your mother and father first, and return to the father. You're not going to return to God until you go through your earthly father by forgiving him.
Gotcha.
That's a lot, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely open to looking at my relationship with my parents.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do feel like we have a great relationship, so I don't think it would be hard to go to them and say, hey, I'm working on this. What do you think? And, you know, I'd be happy to do it, actually.
Yeah. And I promise you, if you do it by really realize, I do have this anger against my mother and my father, and I'm wrong, they couldn't help themselves. I promise you, your life will change for the good. Your life will become easy. Your burdens will be light. You have a clear mind. You will have peace on earth, but you're not going to have it until you forgive, starting with your mother and father. And you cannot enter into the kingdom with anger, because anger is of your father, the devil, And that's why when you pray, your prayers have not been answered, because you've been praying to the devil instead of God, but you call the devil God, because you've been praying in your thoughts, praying to the devil. But when you do forgive, all of your prayers, you're going to be able to see. You're going to wake up. You're going to live in the presence of God, and life will be amazing. You live in his presence right now. Do you believe that you have a past or a future?
Do I believe I have a past or a future? I would say in the normal sense, like, I don't know if you're asking like a spiritual question, but like just in, yes, I would say I have my past and I have, the future as well.
Do you have a past or a future?
Yes. I was just saying, yes, I think I have a past and a future.
And where's your past?
Say behind, it's in the past. It's behind me.
Where?
Where would my past be? Just gone. I mean, it's kind of like it's the past of who I was, right? Or what society was, or what life was.
Where's your past?
I guess it's the past, I guess, also would be in my mind, because I remember things.
And where's your future?
I would think that the future is, well, it's not promised, but it's in the future. Sorry.
And where is your future?
Where is my future? I guess the future, ultimately, like spiritually, heaven would be the future. On earth, I wouldn't know exactly.
So then why do you believe you have a future if you don't know?
I guess I would know. I guess from a faith standpoint, my future is heaven.
And where is heaven?
I don't know. Where is heaven?
And so why do you think future is heaven when you don't know where heaven is?
Because you have faith.
In what?
Faith in God. Faith in Jesus.
And so why do you think your future is heaven if you don't know where it is?
Oh, I don't know, like the physical location, I guess. That I'm not sure about. I think it's in some other realm, not on earth.
You don't believe that the future is, that heaven is on earth?
Not at the moment.
And how is it that God is right here on earth in you, but heaven is not in you?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Why would you put heaven in a different location than God?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
What am I saying?
That God is with me, and so heaven is with me, and we're part of heaven now, and I guess in the future.
The kingdom of heaven is inside of you right here, right now. It's above, too, when you die, drop your body. If you drop your body without this anger, you just continue. But if you drop your body with anger, you continue living in hell. Because anyone that has anger is already living in hell right here on earth. And when you drop that body with that hell, you're just going to continue in hell. But if you drop your body with love, by forgiving, you're just continuing in heaven. You're just continuing. Because since there is no death, you realize you never die, right?
Right. Yeah.
You do know that, right?
Well, yeah, I think you die and then you go to heaven or hell. I mean, that would be the...
But you don't die. There's no such thing as death.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, Christ defeated death. The only death you need to do now is the ego death, which is of the thought, of the mind.
Yep.
You die from the ego, you're free. But you're not going to die from the ego until you overcome the anger of the heart so the light of God can destroy the ego, which is of the devil. So let me just say this. The reason you don't know where your past or future is because it doesn't exist. It's an illusion in your mind given to you by the devil, and he's constantly reminding you that you have a past and that you have a future. It's all an illusion. And that's why God said, take no thought about those things because they're illusion. It's not real. All you have right now is the presence of God right here, right now, all the time. Your present is always eternal life, is always right here. But if you go into an illusion of a past or a future, you're living with hell. You're living with the devil because he wants you to be in time instead of being in eternity right now. So he made you think you have a past or a future, and it doesn't exist because whatever happened then, it happened then. And when then was over, it was over. But the devil makes you think it still exists because you believe the thoughts.
Gotcha.
Bring every thought into captivity. All thoughts are all lies, all the time, about anything. Amazing, huh?
Yeah, I got to put it into practice.
I want you to do the silent, my silent prayer.
All right.
Rebuildingtheman.com/prayer, right? And mm-hmm. God will bring you, he's going to show you, he's going to be with you, and he's going to bring you out of the illusion of your imagination, out of the so-called past or future, and you're going to have an amazing life right now. And just learn to be still and let go and let him do it. You don't have to be whining and begging and blaming and on your knees and crying and carrying on. That's not of God. Everything's been taken care of for you already.
Awesome.
That makes sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Look into it all and kind of get an understanding, but, you know, it takes work.
Absolutely. I want you to give the silent prayer a chance and let me know what you think.
I will. If your team could email it to me, that site would be great.
Okay. Absolutely. Amazing. Yeah. So I got to ask you, were women created to lead or to follow?
Gosh. I think women are to lead or follow. I think men were created to lead and women were created to follow. I think that women can be leaders.
Created to lead, how can they be leaders?
Well, I think if you look at society, where society is, there are women leaders in society.
And society going to hell in a headbasket too, as a result.
And I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I think that, I mean, can women be leaders? Yes, they can be leaders.
But a man can also be a drag queen.
That's right. Yeah.
But that doesn't make him a woman.
I would agree.
So a female can be in a leadership role, but that doesn't make her a leader.
I'm thinking about, you know, in my companies, I have women who are directors and they do a good job. You know, we could say that there are other men out there that would be better leaders than them, but those men haven't stepped up. And, you know, I've always given women the opportunities just as anyone else, in my companies. The interesting thing, I also point out, though, that if you look at those that say women get paid less and they're like, oh, you know, women get only 76% of a man. I'm like, well, if that was the case, I would be just hiring women because I could get them for a lot cheaper.
That's right.
there's some nuance in it. But from the perspective that you're saying, I would agree.
Do women have love?
Yes.
They do have love?
I believe so.
And why do you believe that?
Well, I've been loved by women.
Look how that turned out.
I've never felt like love, like a, like from my grandmother. That was, you know, she was just an amazing human being. And, like I said, I never heard her say a bad word about anybody. She was very faithful. And just, you know, I think about her when I think about, you know, like the capability of another human to love.
And where do women get love from that they have to give?
God.
But if love comes from above, from mm-hmm. God, through Christ, through the man, to the woman, how does that woman have love to give if she's not receiving from the man, her father or her husband, or, you know, some guy? How is it that she has love if Satan is her God who has no love, and until she returned to the Father, she is of her father, the devil? How is it that she has love where her father, the devil, has no love?
Well, I mean, a woman can still be a child of Christ, right? They can still
once
be a Christian.
Yes. Once she forgive her mother, return to the Father, just as men have to do, women got to do the same thing. They must forgive their mothers for recreating them in their image. That's why a lot of women are just like their mothers. They're angry, emotional, they are jealous or whatever, right? They have to mm-hmm. forgive their mothers too in order to return to the Father. And then their love will come from God rather than Satan.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that I would say that my grandmother absolutely did that. And, you know, I've met some amazing women that, you know, are great people, great Christians.
I bet so, you've never met one that doesn't have anger.
Gosh, my grandmother, I never saw her get mad at anyone.
That doesn't mean she didn't have it. And I'm again, sure your grandmother from the old school, and mm-hmm. I know the old school women were different than the women of today, right? Because in those days, for the most part, women obeyed their husband. They had more respect for the men, the, you know, their husband, their fathers and men than they are today. Yep. And so the old school women, I don't know about your grandmother, because I know how my grandmother was about my grandfather, how she respected him. She never tried to turn us against him and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, right? And so I can't compare your old school grandma from mm-hmm. your mother and the generation up.
Sure.
But yeah. Go ahead.
I was just saying, but as far as like women loving, that's why I believe women can love, because I've experienced it.
But grandma, and they're not like grandma.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying on that. I gotta dig into all that stuff too.
Yeah. Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
No, absolutely not.
And should women be allowed to play in men's sport?
If they want to get beat. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, it's just, I think the issue for me with a man playing in a woman's sport, or biological man identifying as a woman playing in a woman's sport, is just there's that obvious, clear advantage that a man has physically over a woman. And I don't think that's fair.
And so should women be allowed to play in men's sport?
That one wouldn't bother me.
But what's the difference? A man playing in a woman's sport is a man in a woman's sport. And there's a woman playing in a man's sport really and women in men. What's the difference?
I'm thinking at like a professional level, that doesn't happen because men are us.
But the fact that this should be allowed, it should not be allowed. If it's not good for the goose, it's not good for the gander.
Are women playing in men's sports?
Yep.
Like what?
Karate and judo and tampabu and what? Football and women are so jealous of men, they have destroyed nearly all of the men's private clubs and things. They just announced we just reported the other day that the women have completely destroyed the Boy Scouts because they were jealous of the men being in the Boy Scout. And now the women are in there and it's destroyed. So I want to know from you, what's the difference? Why is it that women are allowed to destroy everything that's man, But the men are not allowed to destroy everything that's woman.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about the question of should women be allowed to play in men's sports. Not something that I really thought about it.
And why not? Until you've thought about where men should be allowed with women, but you have not thought about where women should be allowed with men. Why not?
Yeah. Well, with the biological men playing in female sports, I think it's very, very unfair as far as who's going to win. So, from that perspective, should there be girls in the Boy Scouts? Absolutely not. I mean, that's an example. I think that's crazy. Some other examples, playing football. I mean, they're just going to get beat. But, that's my thought process behind it.
And so if a woman playing in football, a man's sport, is it a biological woman?
Yeah, if a biological...
Is it a biological woman that's playing in men's sport?
Yes. I think that's what they're saying, right? I think that's what you're saying.
No, I'm talking about not women, not men in women's sport, but mm-hmm. women that are in men's sport. Is it a biological woman that's playing in a man's sport?
I believe so.
And are they playing against biological men?
Yes.
So what's the difference then if a biological man is playing in a woman's sport and a biological woman playing in a men's sport against biological men, against yes. biological women? Why is one okay but the other one is not?
Well, I was saying that I think there's an advantage of biological men playing in sports over...
In either way, though, right?
Well, a woman's not going to have an advantage. A biological woman is not going to have an advantage if they play in a biological man's sport.
So she shouldn't be in it, right?
I do see your point.
And my point is what?
You're saying if you think that biological men shouldn't compete in biological women's sports and biological women shouldn't be able to compete in biological men's sports. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. My position on that has more been because it's unfair, though.
So isn't it unfair both ways to the woman? She doesn't have a chance either way.
Well, sure, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't make sense for her to even do it. Why would a woman, a biological woman, play football? Because she's not going to start. She's just going to get hurt.
So why are people okay? They're not bitching about women wanting to play in men's sport, but they're bitching about men wanting to play in women's sport. What's the difference?
Yeah, I think the difference to me is that the biological man is going to have an advantage, is what I'm saying.
They shouldn't play in the sports then with men, right?
If they're smart, no.
And so men should not play with the women's sport, right?
I agree with that.
And
absolutely.
They're both the same, right?
Well, I don't agree with that. I think it's a little different.
You don't agree with that?
Well, if a woman wants to play in a man's sport and compete at that level, she's not going to be able to do it. So would I let my daughter, for instance, play football with me? Hell no.
And would you let your son play football with a woman?
No.
So it's wrong for men to play in the women's sports, and it's wrong for women to play in men's sports. They should just keep it divided and let the women do their thing and the men do their thing.
I absolutely think they should keep it divided. I know, though, there was a wrestling, a female that placed in the state championships as she was a female competing against men. And that's impressive to me. I mean, I don't think that there's something wrong with that.
So it's not wrong for the woman to play a man's sport, but it's wrong for the man to play a woman's sport. That doesn't make sense.
She doesn't have it. Yeah, it does, because she doesn't have a physical advantage over men.
Right. That's why she shouldn't be in the man's sport.
But if she won.
So then if the man win in the woman's sport, why can't he be in her sport then?
Because he has a physical advantage.
What? You don't see the hypocrisy in that?
I see what you're saying.
What am I saying?
If a woman, let's say a woman, like for instance, this girl that competed against men, I forget the state that it was in wrestling, and did well, that's impressive.
But this man that competed with this woman's sport in swimming did well, and that was impressive.
Yeah, because he's got a physical advantage. The woman doesn't have a natural physical advantage competing against men.
Amazing. I got to ask you this because of time. Are you voting for the Great White Hope in 2024?
Trump, yes.
Right on. Nice. Amazing. So I got to put you on the hot seat, and I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
All right.
The hot seat.
True or false? Real men make boys first.
I don't know.
What is a man?
What is a man? Testicles.
Do we need more white babies?
Don't really care.
Is America the greatest country on this side of heaven?
Absolutely.
Jake Paul or Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson all the way.
All right. Do you know that July, in July, we celebrate White History Month?
I did not.
Yeah. This is our 7th year. I started 7 years ago, come this July. We celebrate White History Month.
That's interesting.
And you know why we celebrate it in July?
Why?
July just feels white.
That's hysterical. Hysterical. I don't like a lot of these months. I think that we should just live our lives without all the different special months. But thanks for thinking about the white people for July.
We got to. It's white people who found it and created it. The greatest country on this side of heaven with the help of God. And if it wasn't for that, it would be a whole ghetto already. White people created America. We need to be grateful, not trying to destroy it, but to add to it in a good way.
Yeah, I think that I think society, we need to be grateful for everyone, ultimately, that no matter their color, their skin. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is so divisive because you're putting people in categories when we're all just people. And not a big fan of the division. It's interesting hearing you as a black man speak out. I've watched you a lot. And it's funny because you talk a lot of common sense, and I don't always agree with everything, but you make me think. And I definitely appreciate that.
Right on. Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
Does a chicken have lips?
I think so, yes.
True or false, abortion is worse than slavery.
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. Abortion, I think it's they're both bad.
Is abortion worse than slavery?
We need an hour to talk about that. That's a no comment on that one until we work through it.
But it's a true or false.
I understand. I don't know. I mean, they're both awful. You know, I think that abortion's an interesting one. I think that what is abortion?
It's killing a baby in the womb.
Because abortion gets thrown out there in, you know, one swoop, as in it's like, for instance, a birth control abortion is the morning after pill abortion. So that's where that's, you know,
is Joe Biden the worst president you've ever seen?
In real life, yes.
Was Jesus Christ white or black?
Neither.
Did Big Mama Michelle eat up all the ribs? Did Big Mama Michelle Obama eat up all the ribs?
I'm not sure.
True or false, sending your kids to a public school is child abuse?
False. Maybe now, actually. Not when I was growing up, but yeah.
True or false, white people are the most hated species on this side of heaven?
Currently, Yeah, I haven't thought about that. I believe so. I mean, it's, right now it's okay to be white haters.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was a good time. It's an interesting interview. You make me think, and I'm a thinker, so some of these things might take me a couple hours to unpack. So I was trying to keep it going for you, but you made me think a lot.
Right on. Amazing. I really, really appreciate having you on. I enjoyed that. Thank you for taking the hot seat. And thanks for coming on. I'm going to have my producer sing you rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. Silent prayer. I want you to start doing that. Let me know what you think. Tell the folks how to get to your website or whatever information you want to put out there.
Sure. Yeah, you can go to cpistemcells.com or go to the Ed Clay Show, at Ed Clay Show on Instagram, and at Ed Clay Official on Instagram as well.
Amazing. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to donate to thefallenstate.tv by going to thefallenstate.tv/donate and locals.com. Also, support our work. Check out our merch, amazing merch, at the Fall Estate site, right, Daniel? Yeah. RebuildingTheMan.com/store and also on locals.com. Let me hear from y'all. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you again for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now.